to show up as the leader that I know God has purposed me to be, to show up as the mom, the grandmother, the wife. I know I have to spend time with Him. I have to sit at Jesus' feet.
Hey everyone, welcome to the Let's Be Real podcast. I'm your host, Nicole Eunice, and I believe we need all the help we can get when it comes to living a full and free life. Here you'll find honest truth, practical tips, and perspective changes that help you embrace the miracle that is your life. It's an in-process conversation that's going to be unfiltered, and it better be fun. Let's get real together.
Hey everyone, welcome back to Let's Be Real. I'm so excited for this conversation today with my new friend, Lisa Nichols. Lisa is an entrepreneur. She is a mom. She is a faith-driven leader. And honestly, the reason that Lisa's here is because we had a conversation, just a networking call where we were connecting with one another. And the conversation was so rich and so good about many of the things that I know you guys care about, that we all care about, that I said, Lisa, let's just do this on the podcast so we can invite everyone in. So Lisa, welcome to the show. We're so glad you're here.
Nicole, thank you so much for having me. And I tell you what, the first time we talked, it's like, wow, I think we could do this for 10 hours, just talk and talk. We did not run out of things to talk about. So I'm really excited to see you again. And I'm so excited for this conversation today.
Absolutely. And we'll just see where it goes because Lisa and I have a lot to say. So Lisa also is a podcast host. I got to be on her podcast. It was a delight. It's called Something Extra. And we're going to talk a little bit about the origins of that podcast and kind of why that's such a passion project for Lisa as well. But Lisa, tell us a little bit. I always love to ask, like today I'm in my snow clothes. It is a very snowy day in Richmond. But I'm wondering, like in the course of a normal Thursday for you, what are some of the big pieces that will help us know you a little bit better in your life?
Ooh, I like that question. That is a great question. I may steal that question from you, Nicole, when I have guests on. But no, that's a great question. Well, my day is like I'm sure all your listeners, it is just, it's packed. It is packed full. I mean, I start my day, it depends on when my first meeting is, but a non-negotiable for me, Nicole, and I'm sure we'll talk about this, is, you know, I feel like that, you know, whatever your true north is, my true north is my faith. Mm-hmm. And so for me to show up as the leader that I know God has purposed me to be, to show up as the mom, the grandmother, the wife that He's purposed for me to be, I know I have to spend time with Him. I have to sit at Jesus' feet. I am an apprentice of Jesus, and I have to spend that time. So I start with that. You know, I get my cup of coffee. I have my little place that I go sit in my chair. Nobody better be sitting in my chair. and I spend time, quiet time. And so this morning, my meeting started, and we'll talk about this, but I co-founded an organization for faith-filled women, business women. Co-founded this organization in 2015 with a dear sister of mine, Cindy Owens, and we're called the Rooted Sisters. And that started this morning at 7:30. We had our call from 7:30 to 9. And then from there, I just zoomed over to, I've been Zooming since 7:30 this morning.
Actually zooming from Zoom to Zoom. Yes, I know. That's very much that. So that you've got lots of different hats and different buckets that you draw from. One of those is Rooted Sisters. The other is the podcast we talked about. Tell us about your bread and butter work and what that's maybe like. We're going to talk a little bit more about this, but in your bread and butter work, what is the most fulfilling for you right now in this season?
I like that. Well, let me tell you what my bread and butter work is. So my husband, Greg, and I, we go way back, Nicole. We started way back. We started at the same church together. Our families joined the same church when we were 3 and 5.
Oh, that is way, I did not know that's where you were going. I thought you were going to middle school. Maybe middle school, but no, 3 and 5. You do go all the way back.
All the way back, yes. And, you know, it's getting to be an old joke now, but, you know, we're originally from Kentucky. And I tell people all the time, contrary to what you may have heard, we are not kissing cousins. We are not related, okay? But we were 3 and 5. And he's got stories. Nicole, if you can believe that, He remembers stories when we were like 7, 10 years old. Goodness. I'm like, I don't remember that. When I first noticed him, though, was when I was in sixth grade.
Okay.
And I just thought he was so cute. And I'll tell a little story on them. They were usually late to church because his mom had a lot of boys.
Okay.
And they would sit in front of us. And boy, I would be like, oh, here he is. Here he is. So when I was in sixth grade, I really took notice of him. But he really did not take notice of me until we were in high school and we started dating in high school. But anyway, so long story short is we spent the first 10, we got married our last semester of college.
Okay.
Spent the first 10 years in corporate America in Fortune 500 companies. And then 27 years ago, jumped on the entrepreneurial wagon and founded Technology Partners. So okay. Technology Partners is a full service IT firm. We do everything from staffing to total solutions. Data science is a big thing for us, data analytics. So, you know, a technology, Nicole, truly, we didn't know at the time, but I'm so grateful because—
Oh my gosh. I'm like 27 years ago, I just think about the difference in technology. I mean, I think back to, I mean, everyone has their stories. If you're like over the age of 40, like when did you really start using email? When did you use instant messenger? Like all that. And for me, it was right. Like college was, you know, that all happened in college. So I got to be on the side of it where you kind of get on board with all of it. But yeah, oh my goodness, you guys have seen so much.
Well, we have. We've seen so much change. And, you know, if you think about it, you know, every company. I mean, we do business with MasterCard International. We do business with Bayer. I mean, every company is using technology to move the business forward. And yeah, if you don't have a technology strategy, you know, you're going to, unfortunately, you're going to be left in the dust, you know? Mm-hmm. So I'm so grateful that we chose that. But at the time, we didn't know. But you asked me what's the thing that excites me the most now? You know, a couple of things. I believe in the power of technology to improve lives. In fact, that's our tagline. But I could sit here, we could sit here for the whole podcast and I could tell you so many anecdotal stories of companies and what technology is doing to improve lives. Everything from robotic avatars to bring the best doctors in the world into any neighborhood. No matter, you know, where that neighborhood is, to, you know, a technology out of New York that is helping Alzheimer's patients.
Wow.
With their memory. I mean, technology truly can improve the world. And so for us, what's so exciting is to partner with these clients. And we're part of the story.
You know,
we're part of that story because we're helping them with their technology roadmap. And so that's one of the things. I mean, I've got a lot of things I'm excited about. I'm just excited about people, you know, and I know we'll talk a lot about that, but people matter. And seeing people grow, seeing the ability for us to move people and to be a part of their career journey. I mean, that's super satisfying.
I'm so grateful just where you started with that, because even as you were talking, I realized that so many of us take technology for granted because it can just have a bad rap. Like we're talking about social media. We're like, this isn't good, whatever. We're disconnected from one another. We have all this, but I love just your angle on it that reminds us, like, you know, through this pandemic, I mean, this is, we're connected. We can, you know, a lot of us have just got come up on the like, hey, let's do a video chat. Let's be as connected as we can be, even if we're not face-to-face in person. That can never be replaced. But to hear even just your examples of things that, yeah, I hadn't thought about how many times I used like telehealth over the course of this pandemic for my kids. And my own sister is a nurse who's employed in telehealth. And it's been a huge gift for her and her family to be able to do that. So yeah, I mean, I love hearing that. And of course, it's all about people as well. And you are also, you know, we're in such an entrepreneurial culture. You know, we're going to talk a little bit more about two things. One is this great resignation, this whole idea, like something like 40% of people are considering leaving or have left their jobs. Lots of people, there's just an MIT management article that we'll post in the show notes that talks about they've like compiled a bunch of data and most people think people leave for pay or whatever. And that absolutely is not on there. So I don't know if you've seen the article, Lisa, but I'm wondering, do you know what the number one, what do you think is the number one reason people leave or resign?
Well, what you always hear is a bad manager.
It was toxic culture was the number one. Mm-hmm. Other ones on there were, you know, job insecurity, not being clear about the job, not being clear about the role. The one that was fascinating to me was that actually innovative companies are more likely to lose people right now. And, it, you know, kind of one of the ideas behind the article was because innovation is hard. Like mm-hmm. growth is actually hard. And I thought, oh yeah, that is something to talk about because we talk about that culturally in our companies, but actually we can start by talking about it internally with ourselves too. Like you and I have talked about our mm-hmm. own ways of how to be a person who grows. So that's some of the things that they found. But you guys were entrepreneurs before entrepreneurship was cool. I mean, like really back then. And now that there's so many people jumping, they're jumping out. Yes. They're jumping out on their own. They're leaving their corporate roles. I just wonder what are a couple lessons when you think about y'all's career together that you'd want to share with someone who would be new to jumping into entrepreneurship?
Oh my goodness. There's so many. But, you know, Nicole, I had a couple thoughts as you were talking, mm-hmm. this great resignation. You know, one of the things that they say is that people are not finding purpose in their work. Mm-hmm. You know, that they don't really, why am I even doing this? You know, right. I get up, right. I go to work, I'm working 60 hours a week or whatever it is, and mm-hmm. I get up and do it the same way the next day. So that's why it's really important for companies to understand why you exist.
Yes.
You know, and for us, I mean, the bigger why is because we believe that technology truly can improve the world. And that's something that people can get behind, mm-hmm. you know, hopefully. You know, I had several thoughts when you were talking about that. But, you know, sometimes, you know, companies think, oh, you know, I got to compensate people really well. Well, yes, compensation is huge. Right. But I know studies that I have read, you know, compensation is 6-7 on the list.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It's not at the top of the list. So, you know, but I've got so many things. I was telling you one of the things I thought about was be a sponge. And I have a uh-huh. funny story about this. So I'm talking to this guy yesterday, right? In Florida, because we're actually considering right now possibly start to expand into other metros, right? And so we're doing our due diligence and we're looking at Denver and we're looking at, you know, some other metros. And I was talking to him about, you know, Tampa, because we do have somebody that's kind of interested in Tampa. And he told me, he goes, Lisa, you know that Tampa's the sponge capital of the world. There's a huge sponge manufacturer in Tampa. I'm like, you're kidding me. I had no idea.
I don't know why that's so funny, but it is. I'm like, I think really? Can you tour it? Tell us more.
Exactly. So, yeah. So if I get to tour the sponge capital of the world, I will definitely give you some insight there. But, you know, the first thing I would say is be a sponge. And I think sometimes, you know, it's okay not to have all the answers. And you think when you're doing this and when you're the leader, Nicole, you think, well, everybody's coming to me for the answers. Everybody mm-hmm. expects me to have all the answers. Mm-hmm. And newsflash, you will never have all the answers.
Yeah.
And nor should you. I mean, you know, there's that old adage that says, if you're the smartest person in the room, you need to go to a different room, mm-hmm. you know, but you need to lean in. I would say if you're jumping on, make sure you're leaning into people that have gone before, you know, mm-hmm. be a sponge, learn, ask questions. In fact, never, ever stop asking questions. Mm-hmm. And I know you and I both believe in that. That's one of the absolutely. Things that we do on our podcast, right?
Yeah.
So we can learn. But, you know, and I realize that if you are just jumping in as an entrepreneur, you may not have a team. You may be the team. But I would say when you have a team and when you've built a trusted team, make sure you're leaning into your team and mm-hmm. saying, I don't know how we're going to solve this challenge. Okay, we're in a pandemic. How do we pivot? What do we do in our business right now? Well, don't feel like you have to figure that all out by yourself. Mm-hmm. Lean into your team. Let's figure this obstacle, this challenge out together. I would say for an entrepreneur, and there's a great book out there, Nicole, called The Lean Startup.
Okay.
And absolutely, there's risk, right? There is risk anytime you start something new, and especially starting a business. There is a major risk there, but I would say make a calculated risk. Now, don't go out and lease space. You know, there is a term, and I know you've heard this term, but I think maybe GE was such an innovative, is such an innovative company, but it's minimum viable product.
Right.
There is really a smartness to that. You know, get a minimum viable product out there. Get it out there to focus customers. Those customers will tell you how you need to adjust. Mm-hmm. But I would say, you know, start lean. I would also say, make sure you believe in what you're doing. Believe. And I would put that in capital letters. And for me, I will tell you, we have a very innovative, transparent business model for both our clients and the people that work for us. We're very transparent. And I have always believed that that's the best way to do business. And so it's not hard for me to go out and tell more people about it. And I tell you, the other thing I would say is there's going to be really hard days and there's going to be tough times where you face things and you're like, what am I doing? Why are we doing this? You need to go back to that.
Oh, good. Yeah.
And that'll help pull you through those really tough times, because there will be tough times. You know, don't give up. I would say, once you do get a team, focus on your people. Focus on getting the right people on the bus, and then never, ever, ever take them for granted. And I will tell you, during this pandemic, I mean, we've all had to get really creative with how we care for our people, right? And show them appreciation. But that is just critical. You and I love this, but keep growing.
Yeah.
You will never, ever reach a summit. In fact, when you become stagnant, you are hurting your organization. You're hurting your people. They deserve for you to keep growing and to be the best version of you. Plus, you're the leader. So as the leader goes, so goes the organization, right? And I'm sure that, you know, your listeners would want a growing, learning organization. Well, you have to model that.
Yeah. Let me ask you a couple of questions. I love all of these. And I love to just like put a little bit of like color on them. So you said focus on your people. And there's a couple of things that you're saying that everyone's like, yep, totally. And then you're like, but how though? Like, what does it look like for you? So Lisa, for you, when you think about investing or focusing on your people, what does that look like daily, weekly, monthly, in the way that you do your work? Because that's the other thing about being a boss, being a leader, is that everyone I know, all of my clients, always feel like the demand exceeds their supply at all times. So the task takes priority, the problems take priority, and then the idea of like sitting around and thinking about how to care for their people, it just doesn't happen. So help us know how we can build some of that into the way that we work.
Yeah, I'm so glad you asked that question, because you're right. I mean, we can say all this stuff and it's theory, right?
Yeah.
How do you actually put that into practice? Because listen, I've always said, as an entrepreneur, as a business owner, there never seems to be enough hours in the day to do all the things that you need to do, right? But first of all, I would say, if you have a team, if you have a leadership team, you have to rely on them too to care for that subset. So, you know, there's some really practical ways. You need to, you know, empathy is so important, especially now. Care for your team, right? But I have a female CIO that is the CIO for a very large, probably the largest wholesale grocer in the nation. And, you know, she does something, Nicole, that I just love. Now, she's got a huge IT team, right? But, you know, so it's going to be really difficult for her to connect one-to-one with her people. But what she does is, on a weekly basis, she has more like a town hall forum with Zoom. Okay. And it's called Ask Me Anything.
Okay.
And she really means that, you know, it's like, if somebody, you know, ask me anything. So she spends that hour every week where she has this open mic format where people can come and ask her anything. You know, there's another friend of mine that's a CEO for a manufacturing company. And now your listeners have to kind of say, well, that wouldn't work for us because of sure. maybe we're multi-location. He's one location, right? So it works. But they do a daily stand-up.
Mm-hmm.
They do a daily stand-up. It's 15 minutes long. It's not very long. But what they do in this daily stand-up is mm-hmm. they say, okay, Nicole, maybe you had a daughter that won a gymnastics meet last mm-hmm. weekend. You know, you can report on celebratory things so everybody uh-huh. can celebrate that. And it's also a gratitude circle. What are you grateful for? They do that every single morning.
Wow.
What a great way to start the day, right?
Yeah, that's amazing. Yeah, my business partner and I, he tells a story about his dad who was the plant manager at Lance. And he would every single day spend the first hour or two of his day walking around, just yes. walking around the plant, just meeting people, saying hi, connecting. And that is the thing that I think we have to overcome with technology is our ability as leaders to be present. I struggle so much with it because when I feel like the tasks, there's too many to do, I get really intense and focused and I forget that if it's not fun, like if it's not fun to be together, if your people don't feel like it's fun to come to work, then we're basically going right into that MIT article, the Great Resignation, because it's like, this is not a culture that I want to be a part of. I don't feel flexibility. I don't feel cared for or valued. Mm-hmm. And, you know, it's just a great reminder. And, you know, maybe some listeners or watchers right now have some great ideas that they can put in the comments about how to do that remotely and virtually. Cause I have talked with leaders who are missing that part of being able to see someone maybe a few levels down from them.
Yeah.
And it's weird to call a meeting
anymore.
Yeah. You can't, you can't just walk the corners. In the hallway. Right. So then how do you connect with that person who's like four levels down from you and really kind of get a feel for if things are going okay? It's hard to do. So we all have to get creative.
Right. And that's why I said, if you are fortunate, if you have a larger organization and you have layers, just mm-hmm. make sure your leadership team is on the same page.
Yeah.
You know, because you may not be able to connect with 300 people, but that leader can connect with the 20 or the 30 that's in mm-hmm. their sphere. Right. So,
yeah.
It's just something, you know, another going back to, just lessons learned. You can never over communicate. You can never mm-hmm. communicate enough.
Ain't that the truth? That's one of my, it's tiring, and I'm actually preparing a workshop right now on communication, but you start to realize, wow, this is my greatest asset, like, or your greatest. It can be your greatest liability. Yes. I mean, truly. So,
yeah. And even, you know, I mean, here's what I would say too. Even if there's no news to report, still communicate. Well, there's nothing here to report that's new, but, you know, I mean, say something. I don't know. It's just,
I'm taking that. Even if there's no news to report, say there's no news to report.
Say something, but you just cannot, communicate enough. And I would say, I mean, this is age old stuff, right? This is age old stuff, but also realize that people receive communication differently.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah. So use video, be innovative, use a video sometimes, not just the written word. Cause some people, you know, if it's a long document, they may go, you know, not going to take the time to read that. So, you know, be creative with that. But, you know, I'm not going to say it's not hard. It is so hard. I just was talking to another friend recently. Well, actually, a couple friends have said this to me recently. Jonathan Kaiser was on the podcast as one of my guests, and he wrote the book, You Don't Have to Be Ruthless to Win.
Okay.
And, you know, he said a long time ago, he decided he was just going to put this simple principle in place and say he wanted to help three people a day.
Okay.
And Nicole, I mean, that could be like me saying, okay, hey, my child needs a new dentist.
Yeah.
You know, I don't know. I mean, and then I was talking to another friend recently, and she said during this pandemic, she's a health and wellness coach.
Okay.
So this whole mental, you know, mental anxiety and things like that, you know, stress and that sort of thing, you know, is obviously in her wheelhouse. But she said what she started doing in the pandemic was just saying two people a day. She just made a commitment mm-hmm. to people every day. I'm going to reach out to you, text them and just say, Nicole, how are you doing? I'm thinking of you or, mm-hmm. you know, whatever. And I just thought, you know, I mean, that's something that all of us can do. Can you imagine, Nicole,
yeah.
if all of us and more of us would just commit to doing that?
Yeah.
And there's so many stories, right, yeah. of reaching out. And that person was just having a horrific day.
Mm. And there she was. Yep.
And you reaching out Crazy. With maybe a few words of life.
Yeah. Well, and that leads me to right into my next question, actually, because we're touching on just the reality that we're in, that this is a time where people are super weary and can be really struggling. And Lisa, you know, what's funny about bios and conversations like this is that, you know, people see our success, right? They see successes and they see success next to your name. But I know that there must be failures that have gotten, that are a big part of that. So talk to us a little bit about some failures that you've experienced in your life and what you've learned from them and how you've grown. Because that's a huge part of building anything and sustaining anything, is that not everything that we build will last. So tell us a little bit about how that's been for you.
Yeah. So are you talking more in terms of a business failure? Are you talking more in terms of a personal failure? Do you care? I mean, because
look at me, I'm like, what came to mind? Now I'll just lean into my counseling side and say, what did you think of?
Yeah. Oh my goodness. I've thought of several things actually. You know, I know in building our business, you don't want to get too hung up, Nicole, on competition.
Oh, okay.
But you do need to understand your competition and you do need to understand what your competition is doing, right? You do need to understand because, you know, number one, you need to understand how you're different and you differentiate from that. And you don't want to go into those things blindly. But I remember there was a time in our business, and unfortunately, you know, it was probably at a very critical time for our kids, where I just was totally hung up on our competition and what our competition's doing. Oh my goodness, they're at that conference. Oh my gosh, I probably need to be at that conference too. Oh, you know, they're going to be at that networking event. Well, I better be there too, because what will happen if I'm not there? You know, kind of thing. And oh my goodness, Nicole, I will tell you, that's exhausting.
Yeah. How'd you get out of it? Exhausting. How'd you get out of that?
You know mindset? What? And just realizing that, you know what? At certain times I had my priorities way off. And yeah. I'm spending way too much time away from home, not being there for critical times for my kids. But I just don't worry about that anymore. I mean, and Greg and I will tell you, there was, and I'm sure you're the same way, your listeners are the same way. Literally, there's probably something we could be doing every single night of the week.
Yeah.
Now, I have a CIO dinner tonight. We're very committed to the CIO community here in St. Louis. And I'm going to this dinner. And I'm going to enjoy it. But you know what? I will tell you, a few years ago, Greg and I said, you know what? We're going to make a principle of doing one of those things a week, not five.
Yeah.
And, you know, there's been times, I mean, I remember a few years ago after we'd made this principle, we had a gala to go to on a Saturday night for something that we'd committed to. And one of my best friends called me that week and said, hey, we're sponsoring the Heart Ball and we, Jubal and I, really want you to be there Friday night with us. And prior, Lisa, I would have been like, okay, absolutely, sure. I want to be there to support you and we'll be there. But I had to say, listen, we put this principle in place. And you're trying to make it a non-negotiable. Now, I will tell you, there's times, I mean, if you've got somebody that gets sick and you need to be at a funeral service or something like that, I'm telling you, you don't want to make these hard and fast rules, but I'm telling you, having principles in place like that is freeing.
Well, and I mean, obviously we're like leaning into boundaries right now, which is fantastic. And the other thing that, you know, sort of kicks off the miracle moment, the last book I wrote that connected you and I, was this whole idea of like, you're the person who determines your values. And a lot of times we don't even know what our values are until they begin to be crossed. So with you sharing that story about that season in your life where your work priorities got in the way, it was only like you realized it and you're like, this is not the kind of mom that I want to be. And you kind of were able to reset around those values. So mm-hmm. I feel like that's one of the things that our listeners, viewers can get from this is it's okay when you fail or you have a moment of anxiety or whatever, or stress, let it teach you, like be teachable about, this is probably telling me something about my values. This is teaching me something that I might not be in touch with in myself to understand that this is important to me. Like Lisa, you're obviously an extrovert. So am I. I actually like unchecked, I would go out every night of the week. I just love to be with people, but that takes a toll on me. Yeah. And it takes a toll on my family and my marriage in a way that is not worth the cost at all. But the only way to learn that is to exceed your limits, realize it's happening. I mean, well, maybe some that's people true. Can learn it without exceeding their limits, but not anyone that I know.
Right. No, that's a great point. Sometimes, you know, you have to cross that boundary to realize, hey, this is not who I want to be, you yeah. know? And yeah. so... Yeah, but oh my goodness, we need to do another podcast because if you want to talk about my failures, we go hours and hours and hours, truly. So
well, and so yeah, let's shift a little bit because we are going to run out of time, and I don't want to miss this part because I love the story of your podcast, and that's a great way for anyone who is interested in this topic and this kind of conversation to continue to grow. And you're giving us a vehicle to be a sponge, right, for leadership. So tell us where the podcast came from. And kind of the spirit behind it and where it's sort of evolved since then.
Yeah. Well, thank you for asking and thank you for being a guest. You rocked that episode, by the way. So people, please go and listen to that episode with Nicole. But we have three children. Mm-hmm. Jordan is our oldest. Paige and Allie is our youngest. Allie's 27. Mm-hmm. She just celebrated a birthday. And she is a little girl with Down syndrome. And so she, I mean, oh my goodness, Nicole, if you meet her, when you meet her, okay, yes. we will meet in person. Yes. When you meet her, she will capture your heart in a New York mm-hmm. minute. She is yeah. just the most precious person. And so, you know, one day I just had this epiphany about her and she's just got so many something extras about her. She's extra loving. She's extra compassionate. She's funny. Oh my God, she is so funny. She's got such an amazing sense of humor. And it just, God was like, I mean, I've never heard God speak to me in an audible voice, but in my spirit, it was like, God said, you got to tell your story. Mm. You got to tell your story. Because there's people out there that may have just found out that they're having a child with Down syndrome. And they don't, you're on the other side. You see the blessing. And I will admit to you, we had tons of questions when we found out. We were like, we've never been around somebody with Down syndrome. What does this mean for our family? You have all those questions. But I can tell you now, being on the other side, oh my goodness, she's the coolest person I know. and she's a gift. She's a gift to everybody, you know, Nicole. So I certainly believe, I come at it from... I believe that we are fearfully and wonderfully made mm-hmm. and every person has been gifted with gifts.
Yes.
And I always say, you've been given those gifts, not for yourself though. Mm. You've been given those gifts so you could give them away and make the world a better place. And she certainly makes the world a better place wherever she goes. Mm. So anyway, with all of that said, In 2018, a bunch of our millennials were like, Lisa, you need to be podcasting. Podcasting is the way to go. You need to be doing this. And so our marketing team came up with that. I'd already come up with something extra. Uh-huh. You know, Allie has an extra 21st chromosome. Mm-hmm. She has lots of something extras, and we all do. And so the marketing team said, hey, we could do something extra and could interview leaders and talk about the something extra that every leader needs. And so it has just been, it truly has been probably the most fun thing that I've done in my professional career. Nicole, I love it. I do. And I've learned so much.
Do you have a dream guest?
I do.
Are you going to tell us who it is?
Nicole Eunice.
I'm totally setting her up to say my name. And that, of course, is not what I mean at all.
I do have a dream guest, and it's Tim Tebow.
Tim, okay.
I've been trying to get him to you.
I feel like that's going to happen. I feel like
you okay. Well, if any of your listeners know Tim or know, Tim guys, listens to this podcast,
Tim, if you're out there, we know you are.
Tim, if you're out there listening, I love what he and Demi are doing. Obviously, and I don't know if you know this, Nicole, but for years they have served the special needs community, and they do the Night to Shine prom. Okay. For kids, because oftentimes these kids do not get invited to those things, right?
Yes, I do know about that. It's such a cool ministry.
Yeah. But now they're fighting human trafficking. I love everything that they are doing. And he's got a new book coming out, I think, called Mission Possible, I think. Okay. He's written several books. He's my dream guest.
We'll just tag him on Instagram. I'm sure he'll find it right away. I love that. Okay, so this is my last question that I ask all my guests, which is like so silly, but for some reason it's like the highlight of the whole episode. What is like a product or person or app or something that's just like changing your life right now? It's just filling you with delight.
Oh, wow. That one's hard. I've got several of those, but I would say, you know, I'm doing like quotables. I'm using like doing quotables. Like I might do a Nicole Eunice quotable. So Rapid quotes is good. I have to say, I mean, we use, oh my goodness, we're a technology company, right? So we use Trello, we use Monday.com, use a ton of technology. But I would say right now, I would say, you know, just Audible books.
Is your thing.
Now here's the thing. You see all the books behind me?
Yeah.
I would prefer to have a hard copy of a book because I mean I write in it and that. But we just my husband Greg, he's a tech guy. He does not believe in paper. So we were a paperless company when paperless was still in.
I know, you're like before it was cool. Yeah.
It was still, you know, paper. It's still in vogue, but he does not like paper. So he has always done Audible. And I'm like, I don't really like Audible. You know, it kind of puts me to sleep. But I will tell you, we did an 18-hour trip between Christmas and New Year's.
Yeah.
And so, you know what? I listened to two books on Audible. And I'm like, this is awesome. One, which I would highly recommend to your readers, is The Ruthless Elimination of Hurry.
Oh, yes. Yes.
Have you read that, Nicole?
I have not. Well, I'm actually trying to think if I have read it because I listened to John Mark Comer. But I know. And I obviously, if I can't remember it, I need to reread it. But
Ruthless Elimination of Hurry. Oh my goodness. Because Corey Ten Boom said, if the devil can't get you to sin, he'll make you busy.
Yeah.
And is that, does that describe our society these days?
Absolutely. Yeah.
And so I'll just tell you, if you want to get into the one word, I mean, what I have chosen, which is not really one word, I kind of am cheating a little bit, but I have a friend that says, don't worry, Lisa, just put a hyphen in there and you'll be in compliance. Totally. So be still is my phrase for 2022. I love it. And I want to build more being still in my life. And, you know, it could just be present, be more patient, but think being still, because I think when you do, I think, you know, a lot of the noise and a lot of the gunk and the junk,
it settles down and you can actually hear and listen for the voice of God. That's so good.
Yeah.
Oh man, Lisa, it has been a delight to have you on today, and we will link all of your fantastic options that you've given us today in the show notes. And certainly we'll make sure that we send everyone over to Something Extra because it's a great podcast and a great place to do that continued learning that we talked about as leaders for sure. So thank you for being on the show.
Thank you so much for having me. Absolutely. I knew we were going to have fun.
Hey, thanks for tuning in to the Let's Be Real podcast. If you have a question for the show, you can send it to me at Nicole@NicoleEunice.com. And hey, if you're enjoying this, we'd love for you to like, subscribe, share it with your friends, pass it on, shout it from the rooftops, whatever you feel like doing, because the reality is, let's get as many people getting real as possible. Talk to you soon.